Good morning. This morning, a brother told me that it was being gracious on your part to have me sit in the front. This is exceedingly gracious to have me stand up here. Nice to be with you this morning. It's been a little while, like a year and a half. Time goes by quickly. But I'm very glad to have made the trip over to the island this morning and to be with you to worship the Lord Jesus Christ together. Such a privilege we have. And imagine when someday we'll be in His presence forever and we'll sing His praises. This morning I would like to turn with you to John's Gospel, the Gospel of John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14, and we'll read there from verse 1 to verse 24. This is a precious time that the Lord Jesus Christ, before He suffered and before He died and was buried and then He rose again and then He went up to heaven, He wanted to spend that time with His disciples. And that's out of love for them and giving them instructions and showing them how they would be living in the time of His absence, until He would come again and take them to be with Himself. And these instructions are for us also who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way, how we found out that He died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, and then He was buried and He rose again on the third day. This is our salvation. This is the gospel. And now He is ascended up in the heavens in the glory, at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and He's going to come again and receive us unto Himself. And that's what He's saying to His disciples here in the chapter 14 of John, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, and that's the verse that we want to dwell on this morning. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him, and have seen Him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. If ye love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more, but ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in My Father, and ye in Me, and I in you. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and will manifest Myself to him. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word as we read it together. Let's ask for his help. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for sending thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, unto us. And we thank thee that as he came to us, he made yourself known to us so that we might be able to be saved as he died for us on the cross of Calvary. And by his life now, we can live this life in a fellowship with thee upon this earth. Help us, Father, as we look into thy word, that we might be blessed once more by thy word. In the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now we think of this time as the Lord was ministering to his disciples. He did to the world and the people of Israel, he brought the gospel to them, and he did many great things among them, teaching them and healing them and speaking to them and feeding them. But now he's spending this time with his disciples. And we would think of what's the difference now with these people and the people of the world, even in the Jewish country, what would make the difference now with this company of people and the rest of the world? Well, what made the difference between this company of people, and we are included in this company of people, those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it is the fact that he was with them. And that's what made the difference. Those who are with him and those who are not with him. And that's how God sees this world. He sees two company of people, those that are with Christ and those that are without Christ. And we have come in to be with Christ when we trusted him as our Savior. So this we call sanctification. And sanctification, there's two aspects to sanctification. It is a separation and it is a union. Now we have the separation from the world and we have the union with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is portrayed also in marriage. Marriage, like a man would forsake, he would leave his mother and father and he would separate himself from all and he would cling unto his wife. And he would become one. And this is a wonderful, wonderful experience we can have with Christ of being separated from this world, who is under the judgment of God, to be united to the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom we will share the blessings of God and the glory of God for all eternity. This is wonderful. And, you know, in this portion of John from chapter 13 to chapter 16 and then 17. This is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples before he would leave this earth. The first part, chapter 13 and 14, speaks to us of the first aspect of sanctification, and this is separation. Separate, he brings them apart from the world and he speaks to them. And then chapter 15 to 16 is the other side of sanctification. They're going into the world now, but united to him as a different people, living in fellowship with him and living a life that is different, living a life that would bring glory to the Father. And that's what he's speaking to them about. The first two chapters are in the upper room, and the two chapters after 15 and 16, they're going outside. We see that in at the end of verse 14. He says, "But that," verse 31, "but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I arise, let us go hence." So they leave the place and they go out, and they're outside. We have two object lessons in these chapters. The first two chapters, 13 and 14, we have the foot washing. The Lord Jesus Christ will wash their feet. And as he washes their feet, it speaks of purification in order to be in communion with him, or to be in fellowship with him. And the object lesson of chapter 15 and 16, we see that now this is purification being attached to the vine, being the branches. The father being the husbandman, we the branches. It's a purification unto fruit bearing, and in the world. In the first two chapters, we find that the opposition there is Judas, who will betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Under the influence of Satan, he will betray the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified. And in the chapter 15 and 16, we see there the opposition will be the tribulation in the world, the hatred from the world, because now we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's under the influence of Satan also. So here, the first two chapters, 13 and 14, we see it. It is done in the intimacy of the upper room. That's communion with the Father and the Son. In the chapter 15 and 16, we see it in the field for service unto God. So we are in fellowship with him in intimacy, and then we go out in the field for service for the Lord. The work of the Spirit in the first two chapters, as it says in chapter 14 and verse 26, says that the Spirit of God will teach you all things in the intimacy, and he will bring all things to your remembrance in the intimacy. And then chapter 16, verse 13, the work of the Spirit is he will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come as we go out in the service for God. So we would compare the first two chapters to the epistles and the Gospels, and then the 15 and 16 to Acts and Revelation. So this is, I just wanted to bring that out. But when we see true sanctification, as I said in the beginning, true sanctification, what was it that is true sanctification? What was it that made these people different from, what is it that made them one people different from the world? It was the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. They were known for people that had been with him. They spent time with him, and they became like him. And that's what we have here. Like, true sanctification is spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes known to us the Father. As we spend time with him, we get to know the Father. And that's what is true sanctification. But if the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ made the difference for them, now he was about to leave. He was about to leave this earth. And what would it be like when, in his absence, if being with him was true sanctification, now what will sanctification be when he leaves this earth and he goes back to the Father? And he's been telling them that he would do so. And it's almost like something you don't want to hear. You know, when he told them and they did not understand. Sometimes, you know, we don't want to understand, because this is the last thing they wanted to see. They had left everything to follow him. And now he was telling them that he would have to suffer. He would have to die. And he would be buried. And then he would rise again on the third day. And then after that, he would ascend up to heaven. He would go back to the Father. And if that is what made them different, his presence, what would it be like when he would leave? And it seems like they didn't want to hear that. I think we would have been the same, wouldn't we? Having spent 3 years with him, and we wouldn't want him to go. But what's going to be the difference now when he leaves this earth? Well, he gives them a promise. He gives them a promise. And this promise, we have to realize, like in verse 1, he says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So here he's telling them, okay, I'll be leaving, but I will come again. And I will bring you to my Father's house, where there will be no more separation. This is a hard thing. This is a painful thing to be separated now from him. But he says, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself. And in the Father's house, there's many mentioned, I will bring you there, and you will be there for all eternity. You have been separated from this world to be in fellowship with us, and that fellowship will be forever when I come back to receive you unto myself, and I bring you, I introduce you into the Father's house, and there's a place there for you. It'll be prepared, it'll be ready for you, and you will be at home with the Father and with myself, and it will be forever and ever. There will never be any separation. And that's a wonderful thing, especially after what he had just said to Peter. Because if we go back to the last verses of chapter 13, the Lord was saying to them that, and Peter would say that he would never deny to know the Lord. He was ready to die with the Lord. He didn't want the Lord to leave. And he says, Lord, I'm willing to die for you. And the Lord is saying to them, he said, you are? He says, well, you know, he says, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake, in verse 37. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. I don't know about you, but if I heard that from the Lord Jesus Christ, and here I am, I don't want him to leave, and he's saying he's leaving, and he says, I want to go with you. I don't want to leave you, I want to go with you. And the Lord is saying to Peter, you're ready to lay down your life for me? Well, before the morning, you will deny to know me three times. That must have been a hard thing for Peter to hear. I think his heart would have been troubled. I think my heart would have been troubled. But you see, the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ begins chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. This is, sometimes we read that and we realize that he was saying that right after he was saying to Peter that he would deny him three times. You know, when we look at ourselves, we're not much, aren't we? Are we? We failed in so many different ways. We're not worthy of anything. But the Lord loves us, and he's known all that, and he's taken care of all that. Let not your heart be troubled. Sometimes, you know, we can spend our Christian life being down on ourselves and looking at ourselves, and that's a pitiful sight. But when we look to him, he's provided for that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't you trust me? Don't you know that I will fulfill what I've said? You left everything for me, and I will take care of you. I'm going to prepare a place in the Father's house, and it's for you, and I will bring you there. I will carry you through, and I will bring you up there, and you will be there forever and ever. I don't know about you, but this is so encouraging to me. You know, I see myself failing so many times and not being up to what the Lord would want me to be, but this is not because of me. This is because of him. That's his work, and he will complete that work, and we rest in that. We rejoice in that, don't we? So wonderful to know that we are in him. He gives them a promise. That promise is precious to us, isn't it? And the Lord is talking to them. He's telling them that they will spend eternity with him in the Father's house. But sometimes we don't dare ask questions because we don't want to look dumb. But we're glad when somebody ventures out the question because we listen in. And here we have Thomas. He said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, because the Lord had said in verse 4, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. He's talking to them, and he's saying, where I'm going, you know where I'm going, and you know the way there. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we know the way? Like, you're going somewhere. You told us you were going, but we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to go there. We don't know the way there. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 6, I am the way, the only one way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, we could put this verse in this way. I am the way, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could say also, I am the truth, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we could say also, I am the life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's how I want to look at this verse together this morning with you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way there. He is the truth about going there. And he is the life about going there also. And that we'll look at that. Well, when we see him as the way, we see verse 7 to 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. Verse 15 to 17, he is the truth to the Father. And verse 18 to 24, he is the life to the Father. You know, we use this verse in the gospel, and I don't say that there is anything wrong with that. It's well used in the gospel. We can use it in the gospel, but the application here is not in the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to them in their longing to be with him. So really, these verses are speaking about fellowship with him in his absence. If his physical presence was true sanctification to them, his spiritual presence in fellowship with him will now be our true sanctification. You know, there's people who try to mortify themselves and put the flesh under the law and try to bring the flesh in subjection to the law, and they find a battle that's lost before they begin. Because we can't do that. We can't put the flesh under the law and try to submit the flesh to the law. The Lord does not change our flesh. He's changing the inward man spiritually in fellowship with him. This is true sanctification. That's how we are being changed from glory to glory. As we behold the Lord Jesus Christ, as we enjoy him in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and he has provided for that. That's his way of bringing us home. Like, he's provided this way for us. And I was talking with young people in Sainte-Marie-de-Beauce last Lord's Day, and they had been talking with some people who try to put them under the law, and people who promote the law as being the mean of justification. And they were a little bit confused. And I said, well, the Lord doesn't call us to live according to the law. He calls us to live in fellowship with him by the Spirit. And that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the deeds of the law. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we need to learn to have this fellowship, without which we could not enjoy the way to the Father. We will be there. It's guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ when we have trusted him. But to be on our way in true sanctification, we need to enjoy him as the way. We need to enjoy him as the truth. And we need to enjoy him as the life. And we will come to the Father. But what does it mean to be the way? As we said, Thomas didn't know, and he asked a question. And the Lord Jesus Christ explains it to him. I think he explains it to us too. Because we would probably ask the same question. And we may not dare do it, but he did, and we listen in on the answer. What is the way? When we think of the way, another word for that would be the road. That's what it's being used in French. It is the road to God, or the way to God, or the access to God. You know, there's a saying that says, all roads lead to Rome. And this is something that has been used in the religious circles, that like with this open mind today, you know, where, you know, you have your truth and I have my truth and he has his truth and it's all good, you know, like all roads lead to Rome. Saying that it doesn't matter which way you take, we'll all end up to the Father. We'll all end up in heaven with God. And there's a lot of people taking many different roads. You know, the Romans, this saying comes from the fact that the Romans, they conquered. But they were people who, in order to conquer a place, they would build a road there and bring all their machinery, their war equipment. And they would go there and take the place and conquer it. And that's why all roads led to Rome, because they always started from Rome to those conquests. And when you came to a road, if you followed it the right way, you would end up in Rome. And this is, it seems to be very clever, doesn't it? And this is a beautiful saying. And many people in different religions would use that and say, you know, like, you've got your way, I've got my way, and he has his way. And they would compare that to like a mountain. And God being on the top of the mountain, and I go up this way, you go up that way, and he goes up that way, and we're all going to meet up there. And it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds beautiful, and it's nice and dandy, but the Lord Jesus Christ's words here stand in contrast to that, in contradiction to that. When he says, I am the way, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'd rather believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would not dare go another way. Even for fellowship, now that we are saved. For salvation, true, we know that there's no other way to the Father but coming through the Lord Jesus Christ because of the work he did on the cross of Calvary. But now for sanctification, for enjoyment, for fellowship with him, we would not dare go another way because Jesus is the way to the Father. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do we realize that? When we come through him, we have access to the Father. If we try another way, it's not going to work. Even after we're saved, we can't have fellowship with the Father. John would say our fellowship truly is with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, but this fellowship is in his Son. As we come in the Son, we come into fellowship with the Father. And you know what? That's how we find each other in fellowship. Because if it wasn't for the Son, we would have no fellowship. And if we tried to have fellowship together outside of the Son, we could not. But in the Son, we find ourselves in the presence of the Father. And so we are in fellowship one with another. When we think of access to someone, you know, like if I wanted to have a meeting with Mr. Harper tonight, it would be hard for me to get an interview with him tonight. If I called him today or called, I probably wouldn't be able to talk to him. I probably wouldn't be able to reach him and speak to him and say, Mr. Harper, I'd like to have supper with you tonight. This would probably be impossible. I didn't try it, but I would think it would be impossible because he's a very important man, and who am I? If I was maybe Mr. Obama and called him, maybe. But if I tried myself, like, they would say, well, we're sorry, but he has plans, and he might be somewhere on a trip somewhere, very important trip, or even on vacation, or be with his family tonight. But if I knew his Son, if I knew his Son, and his Son was going to have supper with him, and his Son would say, you want to come home for supper? You know, I could be in his presence. I could be in the presence of Mr. Harper by coming through the Son. And why? Because his Son would be very intimate. I don't even know if he has a Son, but if his Son would be so intimate to him that his Son could have access to his Father. And this is the way, you know, God would be far more important than Mr. Harper, with all the respect due to Mr. Harper. But, and you think of all the things that he would be looking after and how, but we have access to him because we know his Son. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's a wonderful thing. What does it say? It says that there is no religious leader that has the intimacy of the Father as the Lord Jesus Christ does. There is no religion that has that access. And there is no human organization. Notice people go about preaching their organization, and they may call it the truth. And to them, they believe that outside of their organization, there is no access to God. that's the only way. I was asking them one time, I said, if I took the Bible and I tried to follow the and do the will of the Father according to the Bible, would there be a chance for me to have a hope for all eternity? And they said, no. So I said, you mean to say that outside your organization, that there's no way that I can have a hope? And they said, no. But I'm so glad that outside their organization, in fact, in their organization, there is no hope. But outside of it, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a way. He is so intimate with the Father that he has access anytime with the Father. And when we come through him, we come into the very presence of the Father. Is that wonderful? That's so wonderful. This is true sanctification. This is separation from this world. That's what's going to make us different, is coming through him to the Father. Think of Thomas. He says, we don't know the way. And the Lord's saying, I am the way. The way you know, where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. I am the way. I'm going there. And I think at that point, what was burning in their heart was to be with the Father. Well, Philip says to him, he says, show us the Father and this will be sufficient. If we could see him, this will be sufficient. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you haven't seen me yet? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? You know, this is the way to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And their desire at that time, I hope it is our desire right now to be with the Father. Well, he is the way to the Father. He has the intimacy. We can come into the Father with him, not physically yet, but spiritually, by faith. And this is gonna make of us something very different than this world. It's going to make us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our desire, our longing will be there. But how do we know that? And that's what the Lord is saying to them. How do we know that he is the way to the Father? Because he says, here we see in verse 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. He says, believe me. Can we believe that? This is quite a statement, isn't it? I am in the Father. I am one with the Father. I am so intimate with the Father. Believe me, I'm telling you. And I know Mr. Dawkins would say that God is giving no evidence to believe. Because he says, like, faith is just a blind step into something we don't know. But he's giving us evidence to believe. He says, believe me, but then he gives us evidence to believe. What is the evidence to believe? He says, I believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. The Lord Jesus Christ did works that no man did. Remember when Nicodemus came to him and he says, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the works which thou doest except God be with him. We see here that in the works that the Lord Jesus Christ did, we have the assurance. We have enough to believe that he is the way to the Father. And the Lord said that. He said, by their works ye shall know them. Talking about false prophets. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And he says, you shall know them by their fruit. Do we know the Lord Jesus Christ that way? He came and did the work of the Father here on earth. It's a wonderful work he did here on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at chapter 10, verse 30 to 33. Even to his enemies. He's speaking this to his disciples. But when he spoke to his enemies who hated him and didn't want to believe who he was, didn't want to believe that he was God manifested in the flesh, and they wanted to stone him. And, you know, they hated that when he told them that he was with the Father, that he was one with the Father. Look at verse 30 of chapter 10. He says to them, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. You know, he was saying it, and in no way would they believe that. that he was one with the Father, making himself equal with God, making himself, or saying that he was God himself manifested in the flesh. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father." See the intimacy. "I have showed you many good works, and those works are from my Father. It's my Father working in me." It says, "For which of these works do ye stone me?" It's like he's putting evidence before their eyes. He's saying, you want to stone me, and I've proven to you that I'm from the Father. I did the works of the Father, and for which of these works do you want to stone me?" And look, they say, the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They were blind to the works that he did. And really, it wasn't that he, being a man, made himself God, but it was him being God became a man, made himself a man, came to this world. That was quite a work, wasn't it? But when he was here on earth, when you looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, when you watched him go, what you would see, it was the Father working. He was so intimate with the Father that he was doing the work of the Father. And we could see God at work when he was here upon earth and working the works that the Father had prepared for him. That's how we know that the Son is very intimate with the Father. You know, in verse 7, he says, "He is the revelation of the Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him." So the Lord Jesus Christ is the revelation of the Father. How do we know the Father? The Lord Jesus was the revelation of the Father. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." And in verse 7, he says, "You have seen him," when you have seen me. In verse 9, he says, "Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the Father. He is so near the Father that when he speaks, it's the Father speaking. And he is so near to the Father that when he does a work, it's the Father doing the work. You can see, like, being, that's what he means when I in the Father and the Father in me. He's saying, like, when I'm speaking, we're speaking to you, the Father and I. And when I'm doing a work, it's the Father and I doing a work together. Yeah, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So it's the work of the Father. He is so near to the Father that when he speaks, it's the Father that speaks. He is the Word of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, it was the word, the living Word of God. The Bible is the written Word of God. And we have here the Word of God. When he did the works that he did, all the works that he did, and he did all the works of the Father. Completely, he did everything that the Father wanted to do here upon this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished it. And he said before he died, "It is finished." It is complete. The works of the Father is, and the work of the Father is complete. And then the Lord Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. But now there's another proof. You know, sometimes we find ourselves a little bit like Thomas, don't we? We find it hard to believe. Well, it is something else to believe too, isn't it? It's quite a step. Faith is quite a step when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is a costly thing to do, isn't it? You're putting your all in him. Sometimes, you know, people say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Well, that's what we're doing when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if he is not true, if he fails, then we've missed it all. Because really, when we trust, we put our trust in him, we've got nothing else. And that's why people find it hard to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they trust him, it means they have to let go of everything else. Paul speaks of that in Philippians chapter 3. All these things that were a gain to me, I count them but loss. I've given all that over to trust Christ. And sometimes, I think it's all right to check it out carefully, because it's very costly. If you make a mistake, that's it. If you made a mistake in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're done. You're doomed for all eternity. But if he is true, then we need to. We have to. Because if we don't, then that's it. We won't have anything for all eternity but damnation, judgment forever and ever in the lake of fire. But he's given us more proof. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us more proof. Look at verse 12. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." That's another proof. If the Lord Jesus Christ did the works of the Father completely, he's saying to us now that in him, see, he was doing the work of the Father because he was in the Father and the Father was with him, in him. So this was perfect fellowship with the Father that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to do the work of the Father. But now he's extending this fellowship to us. And he's saying that if we are in him and he is in us, then we will do also the work of the Father. You know, there's people maybe with great organization, they think they're doing the work of God. Well, there was a man that was very, very religious and very zealous, Paul. He was doing the work of God, he thought, but not with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very zealous, more than a lot of people. And he went about, you know, killing the Christians, and he was giving his life for the service of the Lord. Was he really doing the work of God? No, he was doing the work of Satan. That's a shock, isn't it? He, a religious man, and he said afterwards when he was converted, he said he did in ignorance, not knowing, because he was outside of Christ. When he put himself in Christ by faith and with the Lord Jesus Christ, in intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, he ended up doing the work of God, didn't he? And this is the proof, because we being in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are carrying on the work of God in this world. And the Lord says, greater works than these. Oh, that's astounding, isn't it? When the Lord says, we would do greater works. Well, I think it's still his work. But he began a work on the earth. What was it? Preaching the gospel, seeing sinners saved, seeing the saints build up and worshiping the Father. And that's the work that he began, and that work has been going on for 2,000 years. And, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ left, there was 120 disciples. And when Peter went to preach, there were 3,000 souls added. The Lord allowed us, not that we are more than him, but he allowed us to carry on his work when we are in fellowship with him. I am the way to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I would venture to say that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, outside the church, I'm not talking about a denomination, I'm talking about a body of believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, there has been nothing done for God. Because it's only what has been done in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way. No man commit unto the Father but by me. I would ask you to come back tonight, and we'll keep looking at these verses. Tonight, Lord willing, we would look at he is the truth. No man commit unto the Father but by him. He is the life. No man commit unto the Father but by him. May the Lord bless you as we think upon these things, and we keep them. We ponder on those things and keep them in our hearts. So I would invite you to come again tonight. And I really appreciate you being here this morning and being able to share the Word of God with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, And Father, truly, now that we have been saved, we know that we have a way of access to thyself through the person of thy Son. He is not here physically, and to be with him is true sanctification, and we can be truly with him in fellowship, because and in fellowship with thyself. We thank thee, Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your wonderful plan, that when he would ascend up into heaven, you would provide through him a way of fellowship with thyself. Father, sanctify us, we ask, in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know the time has gone by a little bit, and I'm sorry for it, but I wonder if we could sing number 265. Maybe we'll sing.